But if you have your Bibles this evening, turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And I'll be in Hebrews, a portion of chapter 1 and a portion of chapter 2. I found out from Pastor Tom, you've been in the book of Hebrews. So anything I say tonight, if it's different than what Pastor says, remember, Pastor is right, and anything that I do and mess up, whatever he says, so don't, you're not going to pit us against each other, so whatever he says, that's how it rolls, but we're not going to get too deep, and I would like to speak to us for a few moments tonight, here out of the book of Hebrews, on a thing that I like to call Christian maintenance, and let's begin reading here in about verse 10, and the Lord introduces what we call the second law of thermodynamics. Let's read it here, verse 10 in chapter 1 of Hebrews. He says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, there it is, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment." You say, what's he saying? Well, God is declaring that everything wears out. This is the second law of thermodynamics that means or states that energy cannot be created or destroyed. And yes, Stephen Hawking did know that principle. It's a law of science. And if he had just believed it, he might have got into this Bible and figured some things out, but yet he died an atheist, and I assure you tonight that that man is in hell. He said that heaven was nothing more than a fairy tale for people that are afraid of the dark. Well, I'll tell you, if he'd have been in this book has been scientific, and it's far surpassed a man's small pea brain, but he's clearly saying that God, if you was to back up to verse 3, he says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power." There it is. See, it's God that energizes the sun and continues to let it shine. And I promise you that this sun out here is going to shine just as long as God keeps putting energy to it. This earth is going to be here just as long as God says it will be. It will pass away one day when he says it will, but he spoke it into existence. His word upholds it and keeps it going and rotating the way that it needs to. And these men that are scientists, they're very familiar with these laws, and yet they have chosen not to comprehend God or retain God in their knowledge. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. And this law here that the Bible introduces us to is that everything wears out. Let's read on down about verse 12 here. He says, "And as a vesture," I'm in chapter 1, "shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels," said he, "at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Now we go to chapter 2, and he says, "Therefore," that word "therefore" means because of this, because of what I've just told you, meaning he has introduced to us the second law of thermodynamics, meaning that everything wears out. So that is our context, and he begins to expound on this, and he says, "Therefore, because of this, we ought to give the more earnest heed." He's saying you need to pay attention here, people, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So he's saying, look, you don't need to let this go into one ear and out the other. You need to pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say and not to let it slip. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come. We thank you now for this evening. Thank you for the safe trip up today. And Lord, keep us safe this week. And as we minister and as we take a little time off, Lord, I'll be with this church. And I ask that you bless it and continue to allow it to grow, the folks to work together in harmony. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, he's telling us that we need to pay attention, that we need to pay some earnest heed here to what he's saying. And he's saying, let's not let it slip. I think if we've all can be honest, we've heard that. Either our mothers have told us, or our fathers have told us, or our uncles have told us. Now look, don't forget what I'm getting ready to tell you. So we're kind of familiar with that terminology. And the Lord's saying, don't forget what I'm saying. We cannot escape this law of thermodynamics. Things, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It has to be transferred. Let me ask a question tonight. Does everybody have a cell phone in here tonight? Everybody got a cell phone? Yep. I do too. Let me ask you a question. How long will that cell phone last at about 70% capacity, you using it? How long will it last before you got to charge it up? About a day, maybe 2 days. But it has to be charged, doesn't it? You're going to have to put some juice back in it. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have a phone service because you're paying the bill on that thing. It doesn't mean that your phone doesn't work. It just means you need to charge the battery up. Talking about some Christian maintenance. Now, he's not talking about losing salvation. And if you didn't pray through well enough or good enough, that maybe you just didn't get it right. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what he was talking about over there in Ephesians about chapter 4, about verse 18. And he says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Promise. You say, what's he saying? He's saying, you need a recharge. I understand you got the Holy Spirit down in there. I understand that you're sealed unto the day of redemption, but glory be to God that it's just things going to need a recharge. It's a living thing down there. Salvation is not an it, it's a person. And it needs God. It needs the Word of God. Things are upheld by the Word of God. I think we understand that concept when it comes to cell phones. I think we understand that concept when it comes to vehicles. I mean, you got to put gas in that thing, don't you? It needs a little fuel if you want it to go. I believe that a lot of Christians today have been used to living with the gas light on. I'm kind of one of those people that when you get around half a tank, you got to fill that thing up. You don't ever want to get yourself in a situation where you're below a half or the gas light's on and you have an emergency and you don't have time to put gas into it. But a lot of folks, they don't mind doing that. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, one night it's raining or storming and they need something. It's an emergency, maybe even life or death. And they get out and get in the vehicle and say, I'm out of gas. I think a lot of Christians live their lives like that. They don't get that filling that they need. They don't check under the hood and check that oil. And I'd like to speak to you a little bit this evening about a little Christian maintenance that we need to pay heed to from the Bible, from God's Word, that we're going to need a little filling. We're going to need to be filled up. Now, it's one thing, and we preach it and we teach it, that you need a daily regimen of Bible reading and praying. That's so very important. But then you're going to need a weekly. Remember the old filling stations? They used to be full service. You know, you whip that thing in there. And the man said, well, what would you like? Well, fill her up. All right, you pop the hood. He's going to wash the windshield. He's going to fill the gas up with the right kind of fuel. He's going to check the oil. He's going to do all that for you. That's kind of like a picture of the church. And God has designed the church for us to work together. He's even commanded us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner. And that word manner means ethics. As the ethics. Some people just have a conviction that if they can find any little excuse excuse to skip church, they will. But yet they're the first to cry out that they're in the middle of a crisis because they've either run out of gas, they've run out of oil, it's not even on the dipstick, and they just can't figure out why they can't get the peace of God. The blessing of God. This Bible is clear to tell us in Jonah that these are those that observe lying vanities. They forsake their own mercy. See, it's there. I was thinking about this the other day. I believe that people do their best to try to hinder God from blessing them. I believe that. I believe that God wants to bless us. I believe God's standing there wanting to bless us, wanting to help us, but we do our best to get in the way because we're full of ourselves in our own way. This Bible says there in Titus chapter 3, says this is a faithful saying. He's telling Pastor Titus here. These are the pastoral epistles. Says these things are, this is a faithful saying, Pastor Titus. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. He said, you need to be on these constantly. You ever sitting in pew and say, man, didn't the preacher just say something about that? Or didn't he just, ain't he repeating himself? Well, it's commanded from the Word of God. There are certain things that you need to confirm constantly. That means you need to preach on them every year, every so many months. And he says, you need to confirm these things constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain. What? Yeah, he's on to that maintenance thing again, ain't it? Maintain good works. God's commanding us Christians to do some Christian maintenance, is what he's saying. I think one of the first things that we need to do is kind of like that trip I took today up here in that truck. Somewhere in between there and here, I had to pull over because the gas gauge says it's getting down on the other side of the half a tank. And I knew that somewhere now I'm going to have to put gas in this thing. I couldn't expect just to keep driving it and pretending and acting like nothing was ever going to happen when all the gauges on the truck begin to sing and the lights light up and they got all these fancy gadgets and says, look, you only got 100 more miles to go and you're going to have to put some fuel in it or you're going to run out. And so one of the things I'd like us to know tonight or to remember is we need to pull over. God's telling us we need to pull over. There's a time you can't just run and act like everything's going to be okay and start skipping out on those fill-ups. We need to pull over. All things do not exist on their own, meaning they're not maintenance-free. Years ago, this synthetic stucco, we were selling it and telling people it's maintenance-free. So people were buying into that thing, and then they found out that caulk joints are not maintenance-free. Well, of course not, but that was the little play on words. Caulk joints, that ain't stucco, that's caulk. But what I'm saying is everything needs some maintenance. Friendships require maintenance, do they not? I mean, you can't be friends with somebody if you don't ever spend a little time, you know, pull over, dial them up on the phone, text them, or get together with them and start communicating with them. You grow apart. Friendships require maintenance. Cars require maintenance. I mean, Brother Joel Greer, had bought him a new Citation. And he drove that thing, and he never changed the oil in it until it got around 100,000 miles. He said when he went to change that oil for the first time, he said the oil was thicker than molasses trying to come out of there. He put that new oil in there, and his motto was just put another quart of oil in it. It's no problem. You don't have to change the oil. It only run a couple hundred more miles out of that, and it blew up. And then he had a big repair bill. He had to scrap that car, actually. So cars require maintenance. Marriages require maintenance. You can't expect to get through with your honeymoon or start living together and not have no communication and not spend any quality time together. It requires maintenance. To this day, I still ask my wife, how's your love tank? That's that emotional draw. There's five love languages, and she'll tell me, "Well, you're kind of in the red. That gas light's on. You're going to have to put some in there." Like, okay. So marriages, they require maintenance. Anybody been married any time at all? Know that you're going to have to communicate. You can't just expect that everything's going to run peachy if you don't talk to one another. And no, this ain't talking to one another. Oh, let me play this. Let me text my buddy over here while he's trying to talk to you. It don't work. Families require maintenance. Our churches require maintenance. Our bodies, I'm on that fat thing again, require maintenance. I'm learning that. 48 years old. I'm not 20 no more. I'm not as tough as I used to be. Or let me put it like this. I'm not as tough as I thought I used to be, you know, and I'm going to have to start doing some maintenance. I can't live on donuts and pizza anymore. Body's going to need some maintenance. Our spiritual lives require a little maintenance. It all wears out, and God is warning us. He says, don't neglect this. He's telling us, you're going to have to pull over. God says, work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Why? He knew you needed a fill-up. He knew you needed a fill-up. Once you get pulled over, you need to pop the hood. You need to pop that hood. The Bible says that we need to examine ourselves. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This gets a lot of people into trouble, and I can't understand why God moves in and begins to discipline. Now, I almost preached tonight on beware of evil angels, but I didn't. And it's over there in about Psalm 78, where the children of Israel started murmuring and complaining and backbiting. And God said he sent those evil angels in there. And he began to bother them. And then after he started bothering them, and they wouldn't pay attention to him, then he began to break stuff in their life. And if then they didn't get it, then he started killing those three levels. Be aware of that. God's saying you need to pop the hood and examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, but let a man examine himself. There it is. We need to pop the hood once we get pulled over. Then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, many are sickly among you, and many sleep. What's he saying? He's saying you need to pull over, and you're going to have to pop the hood here on this thing. You need to examine yourself. Need to examine your life in the light of the Word of God. That's checking the oil. And if you're a quart low, then you need to add a quart. Just like the Bible says, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Today we got a bunch of people that have souls that are developed, but their spirits are not developed. The spirit, and over there in 1 Thessalonians, it's spirit, soul, and body, and it's in there that way for a reason. We say body, soul, and spirit. Why? Because we're fleshly. We're carnal. But God said, no, it's spirit, soul, and body. You say, what's he saying? He's saying that the spirit, when you get saved, has the Holy Spirit of God knit with it. It's the command structure. It's the boss. And it tells the soul, which is the seat of emotions, where the heart is, what to do. That's management. Soul is the management. And then the spirit, which is told management what to do, which is the soul, tells the flesh what to do. We got that backwards, don't we? We got our flesh telling our soul and our spirit what to do. You say, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. It's what's wrong with any time man gets involved in something like that. It's backwards. Supposed to be controlled by the Spirit. That's why he said be filled with the Spirit. You can't fill it if the cup's too full, and it's too full of sin, too full of self, too full of pride, and the things of this world. you're going to have some problems in the Christian life. He's telling us to pop the hood. He's telling us here, don't neglect this. You're going to have to pull over. There needs to be a time. That's why church is so important. And I see this pattern. I'm sure the pattern's up here too. People get to skipping out on church on Sunday night and skipping out on church on Wednesday night. And the next thing you know, they're right smack middle into a crisis, and they just can't figure out why they don't have enough juice to weather the crisis. They can't make the call. They can't get through. God's not hearing my prayer. I don't think this Christian stuff works. When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you let the Word of God and the preacher, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and let that preacher preach the Word to you, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting? When's that happened? When have you plugged in last time? See, those check engine lights come on for a reason. God has them. That's why you pop the hood, look under there, make sure the brake fluid's up. Because you might need to use those brakes when the devil throws something in your path. A lot of people fall into the ditch, run into sin because their brakes fluid was low. Brakes ain't working right. Oh, preacher, don't get on them standards, convictions. God's all about that. God's all about order and checking things out. So he's telling us, pull over. He's telling us, you need to pop the hood. He's telling us, check that oil. Do that self-examination. Let the Word of God begin to reprove and rebuke and to work on you and bother you a little bit and get those things right at the altar, because you need a little spiritual maintenance. But then he's saying, fill her up. We got to be filled up. The spiritual man must be in control. The Holy Spirit of God, he eats and he feeds off of the Word of God. I've had this happen to me a couple times this week, and everybody says, well, the Bible says, preacher, that if I had faith as a grain of mustard seed, yeah, I could move a mountain. Uh-huh. He was in the context of salvation. That's where it starts. Faith is a grain of mustard seed, but it was intended to grow. Oh, grow? Yeah, you're going to have to feed it. You know, over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, and add to your faith virtue. It's supposed to grow. I've been thinking about this. If faith starts out as a grain of mustard seed, then hope is faith in maturity. Hope, steadfast and sure. Fill her up with the Holy Spirit of God, the things of God. Many Christians are stranded in their Christian life because they're out of gas. The battery's dead. Oh, the account's been paid for. Christ paid for the account. Christ hooked you up. You got the phone service, the spiritual, the Holy Spirit of God's in there. But he's going to need a little reviving. Going to need a little filling. Sin, the Bible says, grieves that Holy Spirit. It drains him and grieves him and quenches him. I was telling the people the other day, we were kind of on some of these things. And I was trying to work with them to tell, to teach them what voice to listen to. Because they said, well, you know, I hear this. And you know, I think the Holy Spirit told me to do this. I said, now remember this. God wrote this book, and the Holy Spirit, God the Father and the Lord, they're one. And the Holy Spirit will never tell you something different than what the Word of God says. They bear witness with one another. I said, the voice you want to be listening to is the voice that told you to put $50 in the plate. That's the one you're trying to ignore. That voice that tells you, look, you need to give that gospel tract to that man over there. And you say, oh, no, that was a bad thought. That verse that says, hey, maybe I need to come in and sweep the floors or do something around the church and do a little service. That's the voice we're ignoring, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Going to have to fill her up. And what's wrong is he's so quenched and he's so grieved because we're not feeding him. He's out of gas. Now, you still got your account. I'm not preaching you can lose your salvation. No, not even in that. We're kind of over there in Hebrews 5 where he says, let's move on from the doctrines of faith. So let's move on. We know we're saved. We know we're sealed. But you can't sit there on a pew and think, well, I've got everything I need. I just can't figure out why this thing ain't working out. Well, remember this. God will not steer a parked car. That's right. That's right. Your body is a vehicle. A lot of people say, well, I'm just looking for God's direction in my life. I'm kind of looking for him. I don't know what way to go. Get up out of the pew, because God ain't going to steer a parked car. He said go, did he not? He said do, be doers of the word and not hearers only. We're going to have to fill up, but we got to fill up first. We got to be examined first. We got to pop the hood and make sure the oil's right there. Fill her up. And make sure you're at God's filling station. Not the devil, he has one too. But he cuts his with a lot of ethanol. He wants to pollute your fuel. I'm seeing that a lot in today's age. And I'll get on into it. I'm kind of preaching a couple of different messages, but it's working for me, so we're going to do it. We got people that they don't want the pure word of God. They want programs and Santa Claus and everything else involved and all this. And I'm telling you, what's going on is they won't hardly sit in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. I know because I have one. People come in, they go out, and so we're going to have to put a revolving door in. They like the retarded church down the road. You say, oh, I can't believe you said that. Well, I did. Get over there in 2 Peter chapter 2. You know, Sodom Baptist Church. Lot was the pastor over there. You know, everything goes. Yeah. Yeah, how'd that work out for him over there? It was Noah that was the preacher of righteousness. Why? He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God's telling us to pull over. We're going to have to pull over, take a little time. Christ told the disciples, come apart for a little respite. We need to pull over, pop the hood, check that oil, and then fill her up. That's what this Christian life's about. And you need to stay close to full as you can get, because what's going to happen is you're going to run into a storm, a crisis, and you're going to need that battery on full charge, that spiritual man charged up so you can get through that. I had a sister down there in the church that they're always there. Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday night, special services. They just always there. Sister Jeannie. And what happened is work called, and they started working her 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And I preached on this Sunday morning, and she was happened to be there. And she told me, she says, preacher, what you're saying is true. Had I not been making as much church as I was, I'd have never made it these last 3 weeks. And she said, even then I was trying to download preaching off the internet and YouTube. She said, but it's not the same. And it's not, folks. Watching preaching on YouTube and listening to it, it's okay. But it's not the same as assembling. It's not the same. You need to assemble. I didn't say don't listen to it. I'm just saying don't get lazy. Skip the assembly. We're living in an age now that's all about the autonomy of the individual. Me. We don't even have 2-year contracts on our phone anymore. It's all you can get out of anything. We don't talk to one another more. We text. And so we don't interact. We're losing the art of communication. Walked into McDonald's this morning down there about Middlesboro, and you don't talk to the lady no more. You order from a kiosk. I didn't like that thing. It wasn't that I couldn't run it. Nobody's talking to nobody. Nobody's communicating. We're losing that. That's part of the experience with coming to church in person. Remember, Doubting Thomas was a doubter because he skipped Sunday night service. Remember that over there? He just missed one service. After the resurrection, they appeared. Those apostles says, man, you missed a good service over there. And he doubted. He said, I don't believe the Lord's rose. You know why he was doubting? Because his faith hadn't been increased. Because he'd skipped one service. Can you imagine skipping 3 or 4, 5 or 6? What kind of shape you'd be in? You'd be totally out of gas. Let me ask you a couple questions. Are you stranded on the side of the road, Christian life? Is the flashers on? Is the gas light on in your Christian life? And you know it's on. Is it? Are you running on a spare tire? You know those kind of people? Put those little donuts on, run them for about a month or two. That's only designed to get you to the next station. But we're living our Christian lives on spare tires. What happens when that one goes? You're stranded on the side of the road. Why? Because you've not been pulling over. You've not been popping the hood. You've not been filling up on the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. God's warning us, don't let this thing slip. You've got a great salvation, wonderful power. I preach on tapping into the power of Christ to new Christians. Oh, we have everything we need to succeed in the Christian life. We don't succeed is because we don't do what God tells us to do. He said, don't let this thing slip. He said, you're going to need to fill this thing up. So pull over. Pop that hood. Check that oil. Fill her up. Let's all stand this evening.